We bully the body because we don't like it. Because I get up in the morning and, oh my goodness, my stomach isn't a Pilates flat stomach, you know? So I have a performance piece about the roll where I actually talk about how I got a roll implant because I want a roll implant because, isn't it, you know, I mean, we don't, it doesn't matter now. If you're a woman or a man, you're constantly go to the grocery store. You just, all you wanted to do was pick up a bag of apples. But no, you have to see so many people looking so fit and knew that means you're not fit. Or so we bully ourselves when, and then we wrinkle. You know, I went to recently, I went to get a manicure. Well, they're trying to tell me, well, you really should get some cream for your face and you should get some laser for your face because your wrinkles. And I said, I worked hard for my wrinkles. I've worked really hard for them. I'm proud of them. Of course, they're all young and they're 30 and 25 and 20, you know, and I'm like, so what is it about that we can never embrace? And so what we do is like, we would never bully like a child that way. We would never bully a friend that way. Like, we wouldn't have, I'm having for coffee and going, oh, you look awful. You've got the ring. But this is what we do. We have a lot of internal dialogue. That internal dialogue that was always like running free spirited in our bodies is hurting us. And it doesn't allow us to be present.
And one of the ways you say we can respond to that internal dialogue is not maybe by getting into opposition, but by becoming playful.
Playful, yes, because we have forgotten how to play. You know, many of us when we were young, many of us went into teaching because we loved being with young kids. Well, we got to skip and to jump and tell stories and make up things and run on the beach or, you know, play at the playground. And we're not conscious, we're not self-conscious of what we're doing in our bodies every minute. And then we become older and we're conscious of it and we forget about playing. And so I think many of us, whether we in movement or dance or yoga, or sports or like to sail, we begin to play. So it's like, how do we play? How do we be able to muck around in the mud so we can create, whether that's writing, whether that's dancing, whether that's making a meal, whether that's having a conversation that's playful. Or the most wonderful thing is to have a sense of humor. And, you know, I love coming to Ireland. It's my, like my Irish father inhabited with his sense of humor. And, oh my goodness, if I didn't have it. Humor and human and humus are connected. Our humor is our humanness and our hum is part of the earth. And, you know, I think God has a sense of humor.
And what came across, you made people laugh in your talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're an academic, but in a sense, you subverted it. I mean, you became mm-hmm. the medium. It was the message. Your papers fell. Yeah. You did a dance.
I love subverting the academy. The academy is so full of itself. You know, it's just exhausting. I've been in it for my whole life, you know, for at least 30 years, like professionally teaching in some form or the other. And why do we think scholarship has to be linear and boring, just sit in chairs or not even just sit in chairs? We think it has to be a certain way. Well, scholarship can be artful. Scholarship can be aesthetic. Scholarship can be inspiring. And it doesn't mean that any other people are not inspiring. I live in this world. You have to do it a certain way. Who says scholarship? The root of the word scholar is to, in some ways, to be contemplative and to look at things in a new way. Why are we so afraid to present our work in a new way? We life is short. If we can't have fun and with what we're doing. So I enjoy that, and I just do it because that's who I am. And I've created a whole, you know, career out of it in some ways and allowed for different methodologies and embracing that. But I've had to also publish up my yin yang and make sure I publish all this. You know, I can't.
Publish or perish?
Oh, it is publish or perish. And in a Research One university, it's all about what you produce.
And does it take a toll on you carving out that other way of doing, or does enrich you?
Well, I've never written anything I haven't been passionate about. And I love to write, and I've learned to write in the way that I dance. So writing to me is an act of love. I mean, I don't always love editing and fitting into the right APA and footnote style, whatever, but I love that and I'm fortunate. But it has taken a toll out of me. The academy takes a toll because there's a lot of toxicity in it. And I think there's a lot of times people are in places of leadership that do not have a deep and vital inner life, and we get lost in it. We get lost about what's really important, and I get lost in it because it's highly competitive and just to survive if you want to stay in it. And I'm part of it's just survival too. So it takes a toll. Any institution takes a toll. So we have to remember. So my body allows me to remember, how do I stay true to my deep passion and my calling in my life? So paying attention allows me to do that. But it's not easy, I don't think, for anyone really.
And you voted to come into Ireland. Your mother is Armenian,
my
and she fled the massacre.
My mother was just a baby. She was born in 1912 in Armenia. Of course, now historic Armenia is in Turkey now because of the genocide. But yes, and so she was first generation, and it had made a huge mark on her. And I don't even think I understood that even till now. And of course, my mother would tell my father all the time, "Well, you don't understand," in her Boston accent, "you don't understand me, Frank, because you're not Armenian, you're Irish. That's your problem." But the Irish have suffered so deeply, and there's such a connection between Ireland and Armenia. It fascinates me when I visited both countries that the stones, the hachkars in Armenia are similar to the stones here. And right now, actually, there's an exhibit in Dublin. I wanted to go, but I can't get there, about the crosses of Ireland and the crosses of Armenia and the parallels. And it fascinates me that there's
synergy is interesting across
cultures with great passion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you've written, and just to give a plug to your book, because you read from a few of your poems, very beautiful. What is your poetry book called?
Book of essays that I integrate poetry, because it's really important to me to integrate poetry as poetic inquiry as part of. It's a book called Embodied Inquiry, Writing, Living, and Being Through the Body. And it really kind of is a culmination of the scholarship that I've done around embodied ways of inquiry for the last 20 years. But it's written to a wider audience rather than just an academic audience, so that it's a very invitational. So it's like, in some ways that you could just really be inspired by, rather than just being in a more academic article.